Ladies, thank you so much for coming today. My message today is on choosing joy in the midst of pain. When we are in the midst of trials, as believers, we can bring our trials to God because he deals bountifully with those he loves. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 13. This is for the choir director, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Will you pray with me, ladies? Holy Father, while we are here, I pray that we will remember your presence. Will you use your Holy Spirit to transform our minds by the renewing of your word? Teach us to choose joy, Lord, even in the midst of trials and pain, and use that joy to glorify you. We love you, Father, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. So I broke my back in high school, learning to do rolls on the balance beam. A little at a time, I was breaking the facets, the little spines on the donuts. I was breaking them off the donut. So by the end of high school, I had broken them completely off. In my early 20s, I started having lower back pain. So I went to doctors, chiropractors, kinesiologists, orthopods. 201, they all told me there was nothing they could do. It was soft tissue damage. Working at Pottery Barn in the early 2000s, I would come home from work and my torso would be so spasmed I couldn't get air in my lungs. I hurt so bad I couldn't breathe. My GP finally sent me for an MRI and my fracture was diagnosed. I went through fusion surgery. That failed. Talk about frustration. Today, my body is full of inflammation. I lose cartilage and I grow arthritis. Life for me hurts, always. So, what I'd like to share today with you is that when we hurt, we can take our pain to God because he is merciful. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, the Lord's mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So let's look at some types of pain. The first one that comes to mind is physical. Most of us deal with pain that's the after effects of injuries, car accidents, even trips and falls. And then genetic. Our little Molly Tiger only lived for 10 weeks. But her life was full of pain, and her family mourns her loss even today. Then there's age. Any of you over 50 know how hard it is to get moving after you've sat still just for a few moments. Death. If you haven't lost a loved one, surely you will. And that loss can be devastating, debilitating, even long term. Another type of pain is emotional. This is the pain that David went through in Psalm 13. We see that when we're in pain, it's easy to become frustrated. It starts with disappointment. Expectations leave us vulnerable for painful letdowns. See how disappointment affected David? He was saying, how long, how long, how long? David was waiting for God to come through on his promise of a kingdom, of a throne. And yet here he was, hiding in caves, running for his life for 10 long years. In 2013, my husband Chip was laid off from his job of 21 years. He was an award-winning creative director. Our expectation for the future was that we were going to be comfortable. We were in a position of giving and sharing that was very rewarding. We had made the assumption that life would go on as it was. But in that economy, there was no job for a 58-year-old man, literally anywhere in the world. So he's worked hard to acquire clients that he can work for from home, but we've never gained the same income levels to support our budget. We've had to make severe cutbacks. And thankfully, God put it on our heart when we were young to start saving, but what we thought was going to be used for retirement has become money to live on when work is slim. So we see that disappointment can then lead to anxiety. This can be painful, so painful that it cripples. We lose sleep. We can't eat. We can't focus on what's ahead of us. Look at how David's disappointment drove him to anxiety. How long will I sorrow? How long will my enemy? In verses 1 and 2, David sounds incredibly frustrated, doesn't he? How long, how long, how long? Four times he asks. Think of what it was like to be on the run, hiding in caves from God's anointed king who was trying to kill you. Think about how anxious we become when we don't know the answer. We have no control over our circumstances. My son, who will be 40 in 3 days, has not spoken to us in 13 years. The year before my back surgery, he moved without leaving a forwarding address, and he won't return our calls. He won't answer our emails. How can I not be anxious for him? Disappointed, frustrated, even angry. So now let's look at some reasons for pain. James MacDonald said, a trial is a painful circumstance allowed by God to change my conduct, who I am, and my character, that which I do. Mark Deaver says, trials expose what our hearts believe in. A trial in Greek, the Greek definition is to prove by testing. So engineers will drive a number of semi-trucks onto a bridge before they open it to traffic, not to see if the bridge will hold the weight, but to prove that it will hold that which it was designed to do. So painful trials are important for several reasons. Number one is testing, kind of like the trucks on the bridge. Second one is correction or reproof. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. The third one is to keep us from sin or pride, like Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. And then the last one is to draw us to God. Psalm 119:71 says, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. This is the best reason, ladies. When we are suffering, we can bring our trials to God because he is good to those he loves. We must turn to God for enlightenment and strength in our trials. But how do we do this? Number one, we turn to God in prayer. Verse 3, David says, consider an answer. David asks God to turn his ear toward him and consider his request. In the garden, Jesus knew he was about to suffer unimaginable pain. He brought his sorrow before God and then submitted to his Father's will. Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Look at verse 1 again. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? David cries out to God, asking how long he will have to suffer. When we are in pain, be it emotional, financial, relational, there can seem no end. We can't see a way out. Time flies when we're having fun. But physical pain haunts us even in our sleep. I have a recurring dream. There's this bank of desks, a long hall of desks in a doctor's office, and there's a phone behind each desk. And I have to painfully hobble around each desk and pick up the phone to see if my doctor's behind the door. And then I have to go to the next one. And then I'll wake up and realize I'm laying on my bad hip. not knowing where to turn or feeling like there's no one to turn to never should enter our minds. We are God's beloved children. He is ever present in times of trouble. But when we're overwhelmed with trials, we have a tendency to go there. So back to Psalm 13. God has not forgotten David, but that's how he feels. His suffering has gone on a long time in his eyes. And he asks God, when will relief come? David feels like God is hiding his very face from him. He is lost in his thoughts, going over and over the list of people who want to hurt him and who are trying to kill him. He knows that obsessing over his circumstances is doing him no good, but he doesn't know how to escape his thoughts. He can't get beyond his troubles. When this happens, we are much more apt to cry out in pain than to cry out in praise. So the first thing we need to do is go to God in prayer. Second thing we need to do is ask God for help. Whatever your situation, God has the answer. Notice the shift here in verse 3b and 4. David asks God to enlighten his eyes, clarify his faith. David here asks for help. Help me see this how you see this, Lord. He asks God to make the eyes of his faith clear. He wants to see God even in the darkness of pain. He calls on the illumination of the Holy Spirit. God's word is a light to his path. David feared if God didn't hurry up, his trial would end in death. And he uses this argument in prayer. So the first step is to go to God and pray. The second step is to ask God for help. And the third step is to take control of your thought life. In verse 5 and 6, we see, I will trust, I will rejoice, I will sing. David Guzik wrote, David cries out to God in his despair, begging for insight, wisdom, relief. In calling to the Lord, my God, David claims God as his own. He remembers God is on his side. Here, the tide of David's heart turns. He dries his eyes. He sees the mercy seat of God as the answer to his desperation. And when we turn our eyes to God, despair dies. And here, David banishes it. His temporary separation from God was his own hell. When we ask God to see and to hear, we are asking God to be doubly merciful. What would we do if we had no God to turn to in our hour of trouble? So feelings are determined by the way we think about a thing. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Feelings are determined by the way we think about a thing. So we see someone put on a baseball cap, and we can say, oh, they're going to a baseball game. They're going to have so much fun. We feel good. We feel happy. Okay? Then we see the same person put on the same baseball cap, and we can say, they look like the Unabomber. What evil are they up to? What is going to happen? We feel anxious. We feel fear. Same person, same cap, but our thoughts determine how we feel. Second Corinthians 10, 3 and 4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for destruction of the fortresses. And fortresses are the strong thoughts and perceptions we have that contradict God's truth. Verse 5 continues, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. When we speculate, we rely on our own wisdom and understanding to attempt a determination of the cause and results of our circumstances. I'm going to say that again. When we speculate, we rely on our own wisdom and understanding to attempt a determination of the cause and results of our circumstances. Instead, God calls us to take those thoughts captive into obedience to Christ, his wisdom, his understanding. So you take those thoughts captive, be alert for their coming, and then recognize it and banish it. Note the ending of the psalm. Nothing has changed in David's life except his perception. David's focus is now on the solution, trusting God in who loves him, who saves him, and who has dealt bountifully with him. This is powerful, ladies. So here are some takeaway points for your prayer time. Number one, thank God for the fact that he uses trials to teach us about him. When we go through trials and we see God's faithfulness, remember it for the next time so that you understand as you're going through that trial, God will be faithful again. Thank God for provision during trials, whether it's financial, friends, his word. Thank God for the hope that remains in the midst of trials. Confess and ask forgiveness when you slip into self-pity or doubt. Or doubt God's faithfulness and power to redeem even this. Don't ask, why me? Do like Jan Gassman did when Clark was dying from cancer and say, why not us? Confirm with God that he is always faithful. Ask God to turn what seems a deeply painful trial into sweet communion with him. Pray through your pain. Call out to God when you hurt, like David did. He cares above everyone else. Count your blessings. Keep your eyes open for them to come. Then write them down and come back to them regularly to remind yourself of God's goodness. Keep a prayer journal. List and date your prayers and God's answer to them, even if the answer is no or not yet. And then read the Psalms prayerfully, replacing the pronouns with your name. Make them personal. So, ladies, these are great points of advice to live by, but they don't mean anything if you don't have Jesus to call on when you're in pain. Please know that his salvation is free to everyone who calls on him. If you would like to know more about following Jesus Christ, see one of our ladies in leadership after our tea. Ladies, would you raise your hand so the women can see? Great. Any of us would be honored to share his good news with you. So I have a song for you that was Shane and Shane. It was written when his father died at 40 from cancer. He died suddenly. And he put his arms around his mom, and she was praying this from Job. Though you slay me, I will praise you. Go ahead.
Turn to the Lord, the one who's broken, the one who's torn me apart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all in love, that I might know you in your suffering. Though you take from me, I will bless you.
John Piper says, not only is your affliction momentary, not only is your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain, from fallen nature to fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of your obedient suffering. Doesn't matter if it's cancer or criticism, if it was slander or sickness, it's not meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. You may not see what it's doing, but don't look at what is seen. When your mom dies, your child dies, when you have cancer at 40, when a car careens into the sidewalk and takes her out, don't say it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths day by day and focus on them. Preach them to yourselves every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind. Though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song to the one who's all I need.